It's very, very sophisticated psychology. And it is a lie. Because, in fact, behind the scenes, we know that they can do better. How do we know? Because the night we did Pasadena, no less than an official engineer from JPL was present in the audience. And in one of the breaks, the one break we had in the middle, he came up to me and he basically handed me a stack of 8x10s. And I started, you know, there's a whole bunch of people around, I started to look through them, and what I was seeing was hard copy at about 10 times this resolution of the most amazing forms. And I actually held the photographs in my hand. And I said, "Are you giving these to me?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Thank you." And I took them from him, and I turned around, and I put them on my briefcase, and he said, "Wait a minute. I need to scratch out the numbers on the back," because it turned out that the numbers on the web are not the same numbers of the hard copy prints of the same data. They have a tracking system. And so if he had given me these prints, apparently, I suspect, there's a limited number of group that got this number series, and his paranoia was that somebody would know that he'd been talking to that guy Hoagland and had given him, "Oh my God, real data! How could you do such a thing?" And horrible things would happen, and his dog would fly off in his face, and who knows what. So he said, "Can I have them back to scratch out the numbers?" And I said, "Oh, yes." There are times when I'm really dumb. So I gave them to him, gave them back, all right? And he took them over into a corner, and he turns them over, and he stands there with one knee up, and he starts scratching out the numbers. And 50 zillion other people come up to talk to me, and I turned around, and he was gone. Apparently, as he began to scratch out the numbers, he realized that he couldn't do it, that they would, in fact, realize what he had done and where the photographs had come from. And so he decided, rather than tell me that, because he probably knew what I would do, he took him away and disappeared into the night. And we have been unable to find him ever since. But several people who were there that night, including members of the project, actually saw these pictures. And let me show you one of the more astonishing things that he showed me, which was incontrovertible, because the resolution was about 10 times what you're seeing here in hard copy. Oh, yes, you know how I feel. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Oh. I could tell you another agonizing story about another group that was there that night from JPL who wanted to arrange a meeting. And we came that close to actually meeting face to face. These are the people who claim through a representative to be part of the people who are leaking the real data on the net, which I'm going to show you now. And, well, they did not show up for the meeting. Twice. They canceled within hours. And I don't know whether it was a shaggy dog story or somebody was pulling our chain or they got phone calls or whatever, but we spent a considerable amount of time trying to meet with these individuals who we were told were the people putting this stuff on the web. So, let me go back to this drive. Now I need to change disks here, because I want to show you something very, very interesting. All right? Okay. This is 881. Now, somewhere here, I have another version. Let me see. Hopefully I can find it. All right, I know what I'll do. I will do this. Soon after the landing, the spacecraft, in part of this original panorama, took a picture looking directly over the... let me get rid of that for the time being. Directly over the rover, which is right here, all right, with those billowy airbags over there on the right. And right out here, there is a very remarkable object, all right? Let me get our version here, which we've cleaned up a bit, changed the gamma and all that, and show you what it looks like, all right? It is this. It looks for all the world like a gyroscope or some kind of motor. And it has such astonishing radial symmetry with a spindle axis and an armature and a toroidal shell. I mean, it's sitting against a backdrop of intriguing geometric stuff. Look at this stuff over here. And we know that it's a valid image because the imaging has reproduced perfectly the regular geometric lattice of the solar cells on top of the rover itself. So an imaging weirdness cannot affect one portion of a picture and leave another portion of the picture alone. The way these things work is that the algorithms crunch all the numbers and they affect the whole image or they don't affect any of it. They don't selectively affect only one part. It's not like analog stuff with old photographs in dark rooms where you can have weirdness on one part of the picture and not on another part. Here, the digital processing literally applies to the entire form. So, here is the section of 80881. Here's the object. Here's the panel on the rover. This is an enlargement, which we have processed using some of those neat algorithms we have. And here is the enlargement with a comparison just to show the kind of symmetries of a gyroscope. I just picked this at random to show what we're seeing here. This is a very, very, very interesting discovery. And it came in because of the mad programmer who programmed that the stuff would be seen around the edge and up above. It was right there just off the edge of the lander pedal. Well, a few hours later, another version of this same panorama is presented. This one is called 80904. And what I'll show you is a sectional enlargement of that particular image. This is 80904 in comparison to 80881. And here, a few hours later, something absolutely wondrous has happened. Someone in the computer has laid wallpaper, the standard background pattern that's stored in Windows 95. Over the scene, including down on the solar panel. Look at how the grid stops here and stops here. I mean, it's clearly, this is the image that my geologist friend of Ron, when he looked at the big monitors at this engineering firm, he said, oh my God, somebody ought to do something. Because it was blatantly obvious to his trained eye that there was literally no conceivable reason why this astonishing cover-up. I mean, it's a literal cover-up. Should have taken place. Which, of course, was our first clue that somebody in the system was so ticked off at what they were being ordered to do that they literally were doing such a half-assed job that my cat, and you all know who he is, all right? He's on the web. He's on Art Bell's website, you know, in the cat box. Yes, yes, he's there. Orion, that my cat Orion would notice this is a cover-up. So these folks have a sense of humor. What better way to say, boys and girls, it's a cover-up than to cover it up in the most amateurish way? Well, things didn't stop there. Because even before this blatant example, we had this example. Remember how a few hours after the live stuff, NASA called another press conference, and Dr. Smith and colleagues showed us the first color views of the scenes coming in from Mars. All right, here is the color views, and look at what has happened. Oh my gosh, they just ran out of registration stuff on the gyro. I mean, over here we've got rocks and airbags, which are a little blurry, but they're nicely registered, and yet here right next door, there is this incredible problem. They just couldn't get the color to match. Gosh, I wonder why. You don't suppose... Nah. Anyway, Jim... Oh, I told you his name. He looks at this. Well, there are a lot of Jims in the world, all right? Let's see. You now know that he has a senator or a congressman who was chairman of the budget committee. You know, okay, anyway. See, this is the kind of paranoia we live in. I mean, my inclination is to tell you that his name is Jim, but I can't, because I promise that I won't. Until he decides that somebody ought to do something as him, I can't. I have to respect his, you know, soccer games and the carpooling. And anyway, so it's obvious to a trained eye. It's obvious to an untrained eye. It's obvious, hopefully, to you that there's something deliberately weird going on here, and the only thing that one could explain this with is that somebody deliberately is trying to cover something up. Now, why in the world would we send a $150 million mission to Mars with all this neat gadgetry and then deliberately blow the images? Well, obviously, if there's something here that somebody doesn't want us to see. Oh, my gosh. Now, what in the world could that be? Well, okay. So, let me go down on this one. I'll get rid of that. So it was pretty clear that this particular image was containing something that somebody in those first few hours literally did not want us to see. Well, remember, these folks have a sense of humor. Whoever is running this mission, for whatever reason, in between the lines, they are leaking like crazy important, significant information. And it wasn't until probably 3 or 4 weeks into the mission that I realized how tongue-in-cheek they were being with us. It was almost, at some level, it's almost like they're taunting someone to do something. Because this now is a panorama. It's called Rock Names for obvious reasons, because it is one of the early panoramas where they have done some interesting fiddling, by the way, which I'll show you. And on it, there are all kinds of names. Now, you're all familiar with, of course, there's Yogi, there's Boo Boo. Now, what does Boo Boo mean? What? Oh, broke down to have a Boo Boo. Is this someone trying to tell us that this is a mistake? There's Kitten. Lamb is interesting. We'll get to Lamb in the second half of this, all right? Let's see what else we got here. Oh, my God, we've got Indiana Jones. Now, what is Indiana Jones doing on Mars? Well, maybe we can turn over here for an answer past Calvin and Hobbes and Lookout, and let's see. We'll turn for the answer to this to, aha, there he is, Spock, right next to Minnie Matterhorn, down the street from Piglet and Pooh Bear. Did I mention Calvin and Hobbes? Yes. Now, here is where I think things get really interesting, all right? Look at this. Cardiac Hill? Is this possibly a code for pictures come in and it's holy Cardiac Hill? All right. There's a point to this, all right? Let's go over and look and see. Notice, by the way, that these things look all very rock-like now. There's the Jedi. God, I wonder what they're doing there. All right. All right. Oh, there's Piper. Is that for paying the Piper when they get found out? No. All right. There's Scooby-Doo. There's Brick. All right. Well, that's an interesting thing. I've noticed that one before. Oh, well. Anyway, so let's move over to see. Now, remember, this is now Barnacle Bill. All right. There's the rover. All right. So obviously the rover is not on the lander pedal, right? But let's look at the geometry here for just a second. So we'll move over here. All right. Here is the wide angle. There's the ramp going down on the back, and there's the ramp on the front that didn't go down. It's kind of sitting out like a diving board, all right, balanced on these airbags, which didn't retract. And there are rocks in the foreground. And, of course, what we're looking for is to identify this picture, let me move this down here, all right, with this picture, All right? Now, what you need to do is look at the airbags here and here, down here, and kind of match this up. So what we're going to try to do is identify the things here with the things here. All right? And we've got names. So to make a long story short, when I looked at this about 3 weeks into the mission, when they actually showed us what they were doing, I realized that this little rock right here is in fact the motor or generator right there. All right? Let's magnify these to the same scale. Kind of. All right? Now, why did they cover it up? Because it's the smoking gun, which means it went bam, bam. Aren't they cute? Aren't they really, 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 really cute? Oh, I see. How are we doing on time? All right? I've got 5 minutes. Let me show you now something that is so amazing that it has no explanation as yet. We put this on the web. You know, I've not really made much comment about it. Let me do that. I have just put it out there to let people kind of wonder what it is. And there's been a lot of wonderment and very little consensus. So let's see what you think, all right? We'll go back here, and we'll go all the way down to the bottom, and we'll go up here, and we'll go up here, and we'll do this. This is on the initial picture taken from the bottom of the ramp by Sojourner, the rover, all right? And the captions tell the tale. This is the conning tower of the lander. These are the airbags, and they go here, and there's some airbags over here. And then there's this. And this is so bizarre because it does not belong. It is not airbags, for one thing. It has this brilliant geometric thing which is catching sunlight so brilliantly that it's actually causing a streak. The way CCDs work is that they carry charge all the way down in the optical plate. And so this is a charge carrying because of the signal is so incredibly bright here from reflection. But what you want to look at is this gorgeous geometry of this very interesting separate structure which is lying next to the lander and is in fact the reason that the airbags did not retract after landing. If we go back now and we look from the top down, all right, if we figure out the geometry of this, all right, remember you're looking here. Okay, pull this down. All right, the camera is located up here, right about here, and it's looking down in this direction, all right? Before it was deployed, it was sitting here looking at this angle down on the airbags. So, what I need to do is to pull up this. Let me give you a couple more shots of this. We actually found there were stereo of this, all right, like here. Okay, this is a photograph taken on 8220. This is the NASA number. And then this is a photo taken from a compendium of rover images that they put out around Sol 62, which is a Martian day of the Sol, 24 hours, 37 minutes. And these, in fact, are a stereo pair. All right? And this is higher res than this. And you can actually see there's detail in this light splatter pattern that is not really visible here. And again, this thing is not supposed to be there. So let's go to the next image, all right? What I'd love to do is to be able to get some engineer from JPL to tell me what this is. There have been several news organizations we have talked to who have called NASA trying to get them to explain what this is, and they aren't even getting callbacks. In addition to you, all right, we've talked to some other people, all right? This is what I think it is, all right? This is a close-up view, and it was this signature right here. Look at the shadowing and the fact that there's a disc here. And this stuff appears to be mylar, this incredibly reflective stuff that we take places when we want to protect things in space. And it appears to have kind of come off in a torn fashion as if this thing opened up like a baby carriage, revealing the thing it's carrying inside, which is some kind of disc with a hollow set of spokes. These are the shadows. The sunlight is coming down. See the shadows here? The sunlight's coming down this direction. So these are the shadow projections of some kind of spokes coming out from the center of this. And that, of course, made me instantly think of this experiment, which was a T. Townsend Brown tethered electrogravitic anti-gravity experiment done in the 1950s. And you'll see, because of the physics of electrogravitics, which is you have to have a capacitor and you charge it up and it basically moves in the direction of the positive charge in a gravitational field, Townsend Brown and Byfield, who was a student of Einstein's, actually found this back, I think, in the 20s, if I'm not mistaken, this effect, which has been very carefully, you know, covered up by the military-industrial complex and all the work that was being done in the 40s and 50s, suddenly at the end of the 50s and 58, 59, suddenly just went away. And I used to read about this in magazines like Missiles and Rockets, and then it all disappeared. It just went away. So, it appears as if we have carried an electrogravitic vehicle in some kind of aeroshell, which is what this looks like, as a hitchhiker on the Pathfinder, and it did not properly deploy. In other words, it didn't release the way it was supposed to in this scenario, but was carried all the way down to the surface. Now, there's a lot of interesting data indicating that this may, in fact, be true. The spacecraft landed something like 40 miles long. And the navigation people at JPL, when they had their press conference, they said, they did some arm waving about, you know, reconciling inertial frames and all that, but the bottom line is, they really don't know why the damn thing landed long. Well, if you're carrying an extra mass that's not supposed to be on the spacecraft according to the computer model, when it gets to that point in the flight plan, yes, you will land long because the mass will carry more momentum and your aerobraking will not, you know, it came down through the atmosphere with a heat shield, will not be able to slow it down as much as it would have if mass was already gone. And so you are basically in a position where something is on the surface that does not belong, and it's not airbags. I mean, look at the symmetry. Look at the geometry. It actually looks like you're looking at a Chris Craft from the back, the boat hull, and the Evinrude. You can almost read Evinrude on there, but no. All right? I mean, when Ron saw this, he absolutely freaked out. Because A, it's not geological, and B, it ain't, you know, supposed to be there. Yet, there's been a stunned silence from those folks looking at this. Now, remember the guy with the photographs? He had on top this picture, and it was 10 times better res than what you're seeing. Oh, God. What can I say? You know, I'm just not the bastard that everybody thinks I am. So he showed me this, and then he said with this kind of supercilious grin, he says, "Well, we wondered when you'd see this." Really? If this was a head game, if I find this guy someday, I am not going to... He will be singing in several higher octaves. All right? Anyway, here's the coup de grace. All right? You didn't think there'd be a coup de grace tonight, but you're about to see it. Okay? That is, if I've done my filing correctly. That's the hardest part of doing these things. Because I was working on it and I didn't really have time to finish it, so I'm going to show you a work in progress. Because what I went looking for when I found this was the... By the way, have you noticed what's in the background here? Don't you find that kind of interesting? You know, just throw that in there. All right. Now, and I promise you after this image we're going to have a break, all right? Yes, Alan? See, I'm almost within time limits, all right? Now, this is the 3D virtual reality view, which is coming down from NASA Ames. And this little panel right here is... get it complete there. All right, we'll start with this one. This is the three-dimensional view of the lander as seen from the rover. And sure enough, there she is. All right. Now, when you look up here... Because this is the landscape created by the camera up here. The large gray areas are missing data. Remember, camera cannot see through solid objects. But you'll notice there's some very funny things here. So I said, well, maybe if we're lucky, we'll see something anomalous, even though this was in the stored position when these photographs were taken early in the mission. So what I did is, and we'll back down here, I started looking at the color and the black and whites. And lo and behold, we'll go to the color first, all right? We'll go down here. I found a mosaic which was taken. Here's the ramp deployed now, right? In fact, let me back down so you can see these both in the same frame. Here's the ramp as seen from the rover. Here is the ramp as seen from the lander, all right? Going down in this direction. So this view is looking back in this direction, and there is where the thing should be. And lo and behold, right here on the ground, there is a very remarkable... Remember my comment about tail fins? There is a very remarkable symmetrical shadow of something, which ain't airbag. And in fact, now you can see the thing which is causing this shadow, and the more we look at this, the more I realized that this was not airbag. For one thing, there is something very bright and shiny and geometric and metallic here. And another thing is they have deliberately tried to mismatch. I've tried to kind of fit this back together using the edges of the shadows and the, you know, these portions close to the lander are incredibly out of juxtaposition. They claim that they want to put the far stuff in focus and in proper geometry, and they blow this. But as you look across here, all right, you can see, I'll back down one step here, you can see that there's a distinct color difference between the airbags here, this stuff here, and this stuff here. In other words, this little airbag, which turns out to be the one... Let me go back and try to pull this other image up, all right? If this thing was, in fact, carried by the lander to Mars, and if it was sitting there on the surface after the spacecraft opened up its little petals and was deployed, then it would easily account for why, after landing in the first images, the guys at NASA were extremely concerned that the airbag had not fully retracted. Because this is the first color image of the airbag billowing up, all right? I mean, there's something under there. And again, John Zarella and Holloman and everybody else comments, isn't it really dumb luck, out of all the airbags around all the panels, that one airbag should be the one? Well, yeah, isn't it? Because that's the one where something was underneath that wasn't supposed to be there. And when we get to David Oates, who of course was in Pasadena, and has provided this astonishing new window on, what we're... Yeah, right. I'm going to... Thank you. Sometimes I make up my own words. This new window on what they're thinking, because the way he does it is he takes the tapes of the press conferences that we've now provided him, and from what he's been doing for the last 25 years, he plays them backwards. And if you don't know this technology, you need to look into it, because it's astonishingly reproducible. And in fact, while I'm down here, I'm going to be spending a day or so with David just going over all of his research and looking at his methodologies and really getting into it, because David and I believe, are going to have a very fruitful relationship, because we now got a totally new avenue to cut through the, the technical term, BS, and find out what is really going on, because every 10 or 15 seconds, apparently the subconscious mind says something that's true to the observer, to the speaker, in reverse. And it's there crystal clear, and someday I'll do a whole thing as to how this fits in with the hyperdimensional model and with data from a gentleman named Stan Tenen, who some of you may or may not know about. Bottom line is that on the reverse speech, you can see that they are intensely concerned with this airbag non-deployment, the fact that it didn't retract, this is a rectified image, by the way, that's why this is curved at the bottom, this is all geometrically correct now. Notice they still haven't been able to register this stuff over here or out here. And what's under there, according to the reverse speech analysis of no less than the rover project manager, he termed a weapon. we have to move the weapon. Now, what in the world is that? And there's a lot more, but I don't want to get us into that canyon tonight, because that will be, fodder for days and weeks and months to come. The point is that if you look down after the successful retraction of that bag, it came in over something sitting under it. This something has very nice different colored folds. It has fins. And if you then look at this picture, which is the black and white taken after the color one in the sequence, and I don't even have the numbers on here. That's what a work in progress it was. Notice what you now see. Sometime after landing and after the color one, they removed the mylar, and now we have right here the most astonishing mechanical geometric mechanism in front of the tail fin, exposed with the shadow on the surface and looking. I mean, obviously, we are looking. If I can move this over, all right, what we're obviously looking at, if I can do this just right, all right, is, okay, we're looking at this. This over here appears to be, all right, and I'll go there, this here. And this mechanical stuff is all this stuff here, and the shadows, of course, the sun angles are different between these two pictures. In other words, this is a real object, a structural object. It's not a piece of airbag. It's got mechanical stuff in it, and it does not belong in this mission. And if you compare this image with this unveiled geometric stuff compared to the color image, which is down here, all right? Notice the difference. See? The covering is there. So, we'll back down, and we can look at both of them side by side, hopefully. It's obvious there has been a change between these two versions in only a few hours. So, where is it now? Have we seen any panoramas close to the lander in the last month or two? And if we did, do we know they were taken in the last month or two, or are they simply remassaged versions taken in the first few hours? Stay tuned for part two. Okay. A few days ago, I was kind of browsing around on the web. See, it says web there. And I ran into something absolutely astonishing. So I'm going to show you that to you. We put this up a couple days ago, all right? This is a rover image. Actually, it's a composite of some rover images. And what we'll do is we'll start with this part first, okay? This is supposedly a view of the surface of Mars taken from the Little Sojourner, all right? And there's a rock over here on the left, and there's the mermaid dune out here, and there's some rocks here, and rocks in the foreground, and it just looks kind of rocky, okay? Rocky 2, Rocky 4, whatever. Until you start looking closer. And then in the bottom right-hand corner, I noticed this absolutely staggering object, which was this. What is an iron rod doing on the planet Mars? And before you say, oh, you're looking at the lander, no, kid, we're not. Because up here in this image, all right, you can see two little blemish marks in the sky, right here. See them? Those are little dust defects on the CCD cameras. You know what NASA did for this mission? They went to Kodak. Actually, I think they went to Walmart. They bought two Kodak electronic CCD cameras. They took them apart, took the camera out of the shell, put it on the Sojourner, and sent it to Mars. These are commercial CCD cameras from Kodak a la Walmart. This is how you save money, all right, when you're spending it on other things. So what we can do is we can measure the plate scale on this image using those two reference marks on, because those are on the images taken, every image taken by this camera, which I think is the right-hand camera, has these two little blemish marks in the sky. You can then measure the distance down to this feature, knowing the scale of the camera, and lo and behold, there is nothing on the rover which is sticking out in terms of this object. This is, in fact, a stunning example of a rod on Mars that does not belong. And that's simply an enlargement, all right? Notice the shadowing. Notice that it's sticking out of this geometric stuff. These are broken instruments and machines. This is a junkyard. I was telling some of the folks over here during the break, a euphemism if I ever heard one, that my geology friends were standing in this engineering firm next to a lieutenant commander who was a civil engineer who has no interest in any of this stuff. He wasn't following the mission. He wasn't looking at Pathfinder. He didn't know anything about our work at Sidonia and all that. He took one look at the screen on Jim's screen and he said, "Good God, guys, they've landed in a damn junkyard." And that, in fact, is exactly what it seems to be. And this is a piece of the junk. Now, notice what's going on here. You have a scene, the main scene, let me back down here, which looks very normal. This just looks like another typical rocky shot on Mars on an average sunny day. And what the team did is they carefully positioned the camera so that this little rod would be right at the bottom right corner. If I wasn't looking over every single inch of the frame, I would have missed it. In fact, I looked at this picture probably, half a dozen times in the last several months, and I missed it each and every time. Meaning the sensors missed it. Meaning it's part of the subversion going on, thank God, from inside, getting us real data. It is a real object. Look at this astonishing symmetry, including the shadow. If you trace the shadows, all right, here, I'll start here. You see where the shadows are falling. You can see that this fillet around this object, which, by the way, the more you look at this object, the less natural this other object appears, all right? Let me pull up a better version. I've got another version here. So, of course, having found this, I started wondering, okay, what else am I missing? And it wasn't too long. Okay, this is the raw data, all right? This is the original. This is high res, all right? Notice this remarkable kind of pattern. Let me back down just a minute, all right? Notice things are flowing this way. Notice these symmetries, that this is like a flange, like almost like a fin, that this is 3D, that it's aligned, all right? Then, of course, I started looking at this, and here is an old Norden bomb site. All right? Look at this on top. Look at that. All right? Some of you are probably too young to remember the Norden bomb site, which was the equivalent of the stealth bomber of its day, or at least, all right? I mean, look at this incredible, this is obviously a three-dimensional, kind of like one of these locking nuts you get, it's mechanical. Rocks do not form right angles and edges and alignments and cylinders which cast shadows. And again, it's blurry because they're deliberately limiting the res on the web. But it's there. And to a trained specialist, a la a geologist like Ron or Jim, it screams of cover-up that we, in fact, have found profound and disturbing things. And everybody should be jumping up and down, and there should be extraordinary specials and full investigation on network television, starting with CNN, of what in the world are we doing sharing a solar system with a place, this place, which obviously now has been home to some incredible technical civilization that is no longer there. And instead, we have Scooby-Doo and Yogi. Cartoons. All right, let me pull up one more here to show you what else we found on this one image. And again, you have to watch carefully, otherwise you won't see it. I think this is it. Might be it. Okay, yes, okay. Now, same image, and what I did now is I began looking not
down here, which is the near field, but out here, which is, you know, several tens of feet away. Remember, the little guy is down about this high, and the cameras are positioned about 1 foot off the surface. So that's not very far away at all. All right? And look what, in fact, we seem to have in the intermediate to moderate distance. Pull this down here. Okay. We have a set of geometric foundations. We are looking at the ruins of an ancient Martian city. Located, this is very interesting, located at 19.5 degrees on Mars. Remember, that's where we landed, and everybody knows, or if you don't, turn to the person next to you and say, what's it mean by 19.5? All right? And 22.5 degrees west of the longitude of Cydonia. And 19.5 divided by 22.5 is nothing less than E divided by pi. So that is really what got me thinking, maybe this is not a random act at all. Maybe the guys who did this, in fact, had a design. They knew before they landed that this would contain important stuff. During the break, somebody came up to me and said, well, if they landed long, what would have happened if they landed right on target? Well, if they landed right on target, they would have been at the 22.5 west of Cydonia. In other words, the Martians, although I strongly doubt that they were indigenous, you know, I've always felt that what we're looking at is a migration, a colonization effort by somebody, and the two possibilities were that it was us, that we were looking at a former... You want me to get closer here? Okay. We can do that. There. All right? Look at this extraordinary... This is like the stuff on Twin Peaks, except it's just in the near field. It's... Rocks don't do this. I'm sorry. Rocks do not do this. At least not rocks here. And look at this. See the cylinders? See the machinery? See the incredible regular geometry? Look at the symmetry here. Look at the symmetry here. All right? No, these are not rocks. These are ruins. End of discussion. Now, let's get to the interesting part. What the hell are they doing covering it up? And we'll spend most of the rest of the evening discussing that after a couple more pretty interesting pictures. All right? And I know you're all dying to engage in the conversation. I can hear all the questions bubbling. So, I mean, look at this. If I were to show you Mark Awasi, have you seen the aerial shots of Mark Awasi? Let me see. Where have I got Mark Awasi? I've got Mark Awasi in a file somewhere. It would take too long to put it up side by side, but this is the kind of regular foundation ruins when the small stuff, the easily eroded stuff, disappears that you are left with. Look at the beautiful symmetry of the walls and the shadows. All right? Ah, man asks important question. What is scale? Speaker defers answer for a while. But you're thinking in the right direction. Now let me ask you a question. Why is the scale important? If I go to another planet, you mean I'm going to find 6-foot blondes? I mean, is there something built into the scale of what we know that is the only scale of intelligence in the universe? But, I mean, I don't want to put you down. You're asking a wondrously crucial question, because I am beginning to believe that there are people at NASA, people maybe like Matthew Gollenbeck, who's a project scientist, who's looking at these pictures day after day after day, and assuming he's not in on it, which that's kind of a stretch for me, but let's assume he's not, all right? Maybe he's looking at this and he sees this, but because it's the wrong scale, you're absolutely right, he dismisses it. It can't be what it looks like because it's not L.A. He lives in L.A. Well, that is an incredibly important question. All right. So, I don't want to miss the good stuff here, so let's move along here because we have quite a bit of ground to cover. That was a pun, all right? So where was I? Oh, yeah, the sighting of this complex versus Cydonia. So we know these guys built geometrically. We know at Cydonia you've got all kinds of regular geometry, which, among other things, over and over again, redundantly, you know, points to 19.5 degrees. which I will explain for those who may have been, you know, on some other planet for the last several Art Bell shows or whatever. The idea that you had somehow interesting knowledge beforehand, Viking orbital shots notwithstanding, and you would aim a mission to the center of this complex, and yeah, you're off by 40 miles, but I mean, look, suppose you try to land in downtown L.A. and you missed it by 40 miles. Would you miss anything? No, that's a dumb question. I mean, see, us folks from further east can make all these terrible L.A. jokes and we just believe. There's no retribution. And we won't tell you when we're leaving. And the answer, of course, is no. You know, if you land 40 miles long, unless you go out in the Pacific, and the advantage, of course, is that there's no oceans on Mars, so landing 40 miles long, you look back toward the shoreline and you see interesting stuff. All right, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but this is just, I mean, there's no way this can be explained as natural. Because, and this gets to the heart of your question, it's bigger than crystals, but smaller than Los Angeles, all right, in terms of the scale of the regular structures. And that is apparently a very important part of the puzzle. So let's see now, what do I want to do next? This is like the cornucopia. Oh, I know what I want to do next. I want to show you the thing that connects now with how I opened this, which is that Mars may in fact have been an escaped moon of a planet that somehow 65 million years, one morning, decided to blow up. And what that would mean. All right, let's go. Let's see. I need to show you a couple of kind of gee whiz shots, all right? Just for the heck of it, all right? How about this one? Okay. I'll back down a little, do that. Okay. Turret, barrel, gas escapement mechanism. This is not an exact analog because I had to steal the top of the... I couldn't find a howitzer in time, all right? Where is a howitzer when you need one? All right. Now, let me show you what our friendly Neighborhood Space Agency did within hours. Remember, this was part of the shots that came down live, all right? It's a pun. How to? It's how to initiate a cover-up. Okay? Here you see it. Here you don't. Want to see that again? It's like Al Gore doing the Macarena. Want to see it again? Here you see it. Here you don't. Now, there has been this raging discussion on the web, which I have, because I do not have dummy stamp on my forehead, have not participated in, where there apparently is some guy with a website devoted solely to proving that this is merely a juxtaposition of some rocks. And that when they took this picture, raising the camera, that 3 or 4 feet, making it spring up, releasing the mechanism, that in fact, because of parallax, because of trigonometry, because of very simple mathematics, which he thinks we have not thought of, the barrel disappears because in fact it's these things back here. All right? Now, do you notice anything kind of funny about what's going on back here? Let me do this, all right? Where am I? There, all right. Yeah, let's zoom in. All right? Now, do you notice how this pattern appears to replicate this pattern? Well, now I haven't done this, and this is kind of risky, but let me see if I can do this successfully. All right? Let me do this and just show you how sneaky our little guys are. All right? Now where? All right? There. Nope. I'll get it. I haven't done this in a while. There. All right? What they've done is they've moved this very subtly over. And I once was able to put this together, and I haven't figured out... See, this is like trying on the glove, you know? Should not do this on live TV, all right? I have a much better appreciation for Chris Darden, I really do. Okay, so... in my copious spare time, someday I will do that and show you. They've actually optically doubled that, and I don't have time to figure out, because they also do reversals, like you flip the image... So you have to be careful that you're not looking in one dimension, but actually in two. Okay, here we are. This shows you the context of the frame, all right? And we'll do that. This is, of course, our famous Twin Peaks. And here is this object. And notice all this rather remarkable geometry in the far field. And then notice how, as you begin to carefully look at the details, all right, I'll zoom in right here, you can see that they, in fact, have not put this together. This should be moved over, and I mean, there's all kinds of imperfections where they don't properly integrate the picture. This, by the way, is a raw picture. This is, nothing has been done to this except we've just added the outline to show you. This is off 80881, which was a priceless... If we had not had the mad programmer who basically blew the whistle on them by simply sending the commands, storing them in the computer to take everything and download it live, we would not be having this discussion. So someday I'm going to buy that man a drink. Or it could be a woman. We don't know. I mean, there are a lot of very bright engineers who may be finally getting fed up with it. So let me now go to the image which, in my mind, really kind of puts the icing on this cake. All right? We'll start with this. Okay. And we'll zoom in, and we'll zoom in, and we'll do that. Okay. This is, remember the view of 80881 where I pointed out that the horizon didn't match. Well, the morning of the press conference, remember, these guys have got a lot of money and they've had a lot of time to practice, and you'd think that they would want to put out the best damn data before the world. I mean, the world is watching, right? You would also think that they would have some computer programs kind of tucked away in the closet that had practiced. I mean, we've got the model of this lander in a sandbox at JPL, you'd think they would have figured out the geometry and the stereo problem and the trigonometry, and they would have, if they couldn't buy an algorithm off the shelf, they could program one to figure out how to properly put together the data. I mean, they only had 7 months from the launch, and they only had 3 years from the time they thought of this harebrained scheme, which, by the way, occurred within 2 weeks of the disappearance of Mars Observer. Gosh, you don't suppose... Nah. You don't suppose that Mars Observer didn't disappear and it took key photographs with 1 meter resolution, which is smaller than this, and it was based on those pictures that suddenly this incredibly rapid, out-of-sequence, all-out sprint mission to Mars with a tetrahedral spacecraft landing at 19.5 suddenly was decided upon? No. God, next you're going to be telling me that they're covering up artifacts on... Anyway, so we looked at this, and immediately I said, why did Smith call attention? I mean, Dr. Smith is the PI, the principal investigator, of the IMP camera, which, by the way, is another interesting acronym, all right? There is an impish quality to all of this. Anyway, he's sitting there the second morning at the press conference talking about 80881. Doesn't reference the name, of course, but he talks about the panorama, the protection or the insurance pan in the lowered position. And he points out very dramatically, we haven't really fit the horizon here after he's told everybody that they were not putting things together. I mean, notice how the near field is out of whack. The airbag does not do that. That should be moved up like that. So if that's moved up, does that move up? So why is this out of... In other words, these are the questions that he points out. It's like years ago, my mother was talking to somebody, one of our family friends, and that was in the days when, you could actually afford babysitters. And, they went out and did something, and they got a babysitter for us. And in later years, my mother told the story that she took the babysitter aside, and she said very carefully to her, "Now, whatever you do, don't tell them not to put beans up their nose." Oh, what a nice idea. I mean, if you don't tell... In other words, if Smith had not called attention to this, like, look at this, would we have looked at this? But he did, which told me that maybe, just maybe, somebody wanted us to look at this. So what do we do? Let me back down here and show you what we did. What we did was this, all right? And lo and behold, when you do this, all right, there... Right there is the reason why they did this weirdness on the horizon. Now, all I have done is to, in about 10 minutes, took this image up here, and I simply fit all the shadows that don't fit together. And you can see they obviously don't fit, right? That's another one of these weird crossy things that creates this artificial geometry, which makes you ignore geometry. Except we didn't. So when we do this, what we get, of course, is this. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the god of war. And that's why I have captioned this on the web, "A Puzzle Finally Solved." Now, a little later in the evening, I'm going to read you something which really puts the icing on the cake in terms of this puzzle, because now the pieces really are converging. This little thing down here, good grief. Is it possible? I mean, there is in the audience, I know because I've seen him, a bona fide military affairs analyst. And these people really exist. And they spend their careers looking at Army stuff. You know, like little kids grow up with G.I. Joe, well, they get up and they get paid for looking at G.I. Joe. This individual, who shall remain nameless, his name is not Jim, has analyzed, looked at this data. And it is his conclusion, after some very successful brainwashing on my part, that in fact there is an incredibly eerie resemblance between this, which, look at the symmetry, look at the cowling, look at, by the way, these dark marks appear to be pitted erosion. So in an oxygenless, very, very, very thin atmosphere of CO2, at an average balmy temperature of 20 or 30 below zero on a sunny day in the winter, what could have caused this amount of erosion? And I mean, look at the treads on the left-hand side of this vehicle and the conning tower. And then look carefully over here at the treads and the conning tower and the man in black. No, I don't mean that. No. Okay. Which one to choose? Well, this gets curiouser, as Alice would say, and curiouser. Because it seems to be that we are looking at, not only, as one of our guys in the audience during the break came up and said to me, it looks like a battlefield. It looks like a very ancient battlefield. And then, going back to your question over here, this crucial, interesting question. All right. This now is my rogues gallery of tracked vehicles on Mars. All right. Here's one which we process through the capture from CNN and add the frames and all that. This is the similar view from 80881. This is our friend we've just been showing you. And this is the one on the hill. The one that in image after image after image after image, they simply couldn't get it right and they kept putting it together wrong. By spending about a half an hour, I was able to slice it back and forth and fit the shadows and all that. And it turns out, and even Ron's wife, Marcia, who was not a military affairs analyst, said independently from the wilds of Indiana, as they were looking at this image one night before I reassembled it, "Ron, that's a tank. What's a tank doing on Mars?" And Marcia is not a geologist and does not write for Aviation Week and Space Technology or any of those other, you know. So here we now have the MacGuffin. We now know what they're hiding, at least in part, because Mars is an example of a planet gone horribly wrong. We are looking at an ancient battlefield of war. You know, when I first looked in 1983 at the images of Sidonia, when I looked down on the pyramids in the face, and I really got what I could be looking at. I mean, this is totally unscientific, and there's nothing that I can offer in the way of evidence to support this, except these images now. But I had this overwhelming feeling of sadness. It just seemed so forlorn. It seemed so wrong. It just seemed like something incredibly wondrous and magnificent had somehow gone wrong. And when I looked at this image, and the particularly this guy down here, when I reassembled this a few weeks ago, again, one afternoon in about 10 minutes, the only thing I could think of is, we have learned nothing. And if there is any more profound impact of the space program on our lives, we who have families and grandmothers and children and who yearn for a future, who want it to be better than yesterday, for people who look at me and say, well, so there's life on Mars, so who cares? This is why you must care. Because if this is not alien stuff, if, as is increasingly possible, it is our stuff, then we somehow have gone wrong. And the only way you can fix what is wrong is to A, confront it, get out of denial, look it square in the face, and then try to make it right. Now, in a democracy, you can't do that if the guys you're giving the money to tell you the truth are hiding things under the bed, or shading them in blotchy grays, or compressing the histograms, or wallpapering over the important stuff, or looking at you into the camera in their press conferences and absolutely lying through their teeth. You can't make it go right when the political process itself has gone so wrong. The only antidote is for the honest people to simply band together and demand to know what's going on. And fortunately, we have in the audience here tonight some representatives of some honest political people who I'm hoping will give us the appropriate audience with subpoena power to finally demand to find out what has been going on. That is the primary purpose. You know, when I went, and everybody said that I would never be able to do it, I went to see Robert Rowe some years ago when Cydonia was the looming thing on the landscape. In a couple days, for some reason, Robert Rowe granted me a meeting. And I took in a number of our people. I took in Errol Torin and Mark Carlotto, and we sat there for an hour and a half, and this is detailed in Monuments, so I won't bore you with all of it. But Rowe looked at the pictures of Cydonia, and one of the things he said when I said that, you know, this is very scientific, you know, we have documentation of this and this and this, and he looked at me and said, well, who says it isn't? And I said, NASA, sir. And he looked at me and he says, well, of course, they have an agenda. I mean, it was without a blink, without a pause. Well, of course, they have an agenda. He then went on radio and television and was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying that as chairman of the key committee, he would mandate that Mars Observer, then coming up, would rephotograph Cydonia. Within months, not only had Chairman Rowe suddenly resigned his chairmanship of this committee, he had resigned from the House of Representatives itself. And then some months after that, someone in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which was right across the border in New Jersey from where Rowe's district was, sent me a clipping that he had been arrested and incarcerated for driving while under the influence and had almost killed a young woman and her daughter in a hit and run in a van accident. How the mighty fell because they didn't understand it wasn't a level playing field. He thought he was impervious, that as a duly elected chairman of the most powerful science committee in the world, he could get the truth. And he is now living as an alcoholic in New Jersey. Now, I don't say this out of turn out of school, because it is part of the public record. My sympathy goes out to not only his victims, but Congressman, former Chairman Roe himself, because the man I met was a scientist. He had a degree in hydrology. He was an engineer. He knew what he was looking at. I mean, he wasn't looking at this stuff. He was looking at Sidonia, and he wanted to know the truth, and they, whoever they are, got rid of him. Just like that. So without strong, broad support from the American people, any congressperson who you think is going to take up the cudgels looks at Robert Roe's example, and they will run at warp 9 in the other direction. Which means we have to be very vocal, very disciplined, and very clever. And I think we're capable of all that stuff, because the truth is worth it. We need to know what has gone wrong. Not on Mars. I mean, that's obviously astonishingly crucial, but right here at home. Why are these folks up the street who have taken $150 billion of our money, $150 million, and gone to Mars to play their head games and basically give us crumbs? Why are part of that structure leaking this astonishing information on the Internet? Because they know something is wrong, and the guy who brought me the pictures and handed to me that night, he knew there was something wrong, and he was too afraid to simply let me have them. But that can be changed. Now, the reason this is important is because there is a paper trail now, and it literally is a paper trail. I'm going to read this. I'm going to leave myself enough time, so before the 11 o'clock Q&A, I get a chance to read this. This is a paper we're going to put on the web. And tonight you're going to have a kind of a preview. It's a product of joint research by Nick Skouros, who is one of our enterprise mission people, an incredibly bright and gifted and dedicated and very good friend, I am pleased to say, who joined our merry band about 6 months ago and has done wondrous things in finding the trail that will lead us to possible reasons for this astonishing cover-up and travesty against the Constitution. And when you hear what he has found, I hope you will agree with me that we must take steps to intervene through the political process and get those of integrity in Washington to finally pay attention. Now, I could spend a lot more time on looking at some of these things like this, but let me show you one last piece of tape. What I need to do is have you take out the tape, and I need you to put in the one that says December 4. I'm sorry, the one that says August 27. All right, it's probably the second or third one down. White label. You got a flashlight? See, Tim, we need to bring flashlights for these things. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me set the scene. Don't start the tape yet. All right? They've been doing these regular and increasingly irregular press conferences. And on August 27th, Matthew Gollenbeck, who is the Mars Observer project scientist at JPL, Pathfinder project scientist, did another one of these expositions. And he showed some video. And what they've been doing is taking stills of the landscape of the rover Sojourner as she moves around the landscape and putting them together as a movie. And what I'm going to show you is they went out to this rock, all right? And let me, of course, they're claiming it's a rock, okay? They went out to this rock, which they call, by the way, Hassock, all right? And the rover was maneuvering around it. And what you're going to see is a very interesting piece of video of this maneuvering. So we need to switch from the computer to the video, and I'll just let it run, and then we'll back it up, and I'll explain what you're seeing.
There it is.
This is
Hassock. So we've moved some rocks, and then moving...
back it up.
That's
up. It's a little too far.
Sharp.
All right. Run it back. Run it back to where we see him again. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. There. Now.
That's too fast even for me. You'll see us actually move Hassock here when we turn around. There it is. Moving Hassock. So we've moved.
Can we run that again in slow motion?
Moving.
Huh? All right. Let me explain what's going on here. We have a little rover about this size.
Too fast even.
Can we slow it? Good. That's it. All right. Now, this is the rover for scale, and this is the tank. All right. Can you freeze it and switch to the computer? Good. All right. Now let me bring this up because I want to get the scale the same. I'm going to show you something very, very interesting. Notice this feature on top, the conning tower. All right. Notice this feature in the back with the geometry and the shadows and all that. Notice this kind of pillbox kind of symmetry and the fins and the front, you know, with the symmetry and the treads and all that. But notice this in particular. Now go back to the video and keep it on slow. All right. Here is, now you're looking down. Now what they're going to do is the imp camera is actually going to reposition. All right. Are we okay? So that it frames this object. They want to photograph this object. Remember, it's all done by computer. They know where this is. They know where this is. They're moving now. They're going to anticipate. Watch this. They move the imp camera to take this in proper frame. There. They go up. They go left. There. All right. Now watch this. They're moving this so that it's in position. It's changed a bit from the initial configuration, right? Doesn't look like the same damn thing at all, does it? All right. Now let me show you what they've done. Now, remember, they're going to turn the wheels. See, they're turning the wheels now. You turn right, and they're going to back up. And they back right against the object. There. And they move it. And inside the rover, there are little force sensors, strain gauges on the wheels, which tell them the amount of force it took to move it. Meaning they get the mass. They want, of all the rocks they've been looking at, they want the mass of this object. Now, pause. Okay? Notice the conning tower is missing. See this? There it is. They have moved it and put it in this blank area in the computer, just boop, and rearranged the tank to look like a rock. But out of all the rocks in the near field, they chose that one to bump into, because that's the only way you could get the mass. Now, why do they want the mass? Because if the damn thing is a tank, even if it is that big, it's going to be heavy. And the mass will tell them the specific gravity, the density, and the composition. And of course, they've got this little apex gadget on the front, and they quietly took a reading, which they then compare in terms of composition against the mass they derived from moving it. Aren't they clever?
Which rock is
this? This is the one that, all right, switch back to the computer, please. It's the tank.
Right. I was just wondering what they call it.
They call it hassock.
Hassock.
Yeah, meaning a thing you put your foot on. Now, is there a deep metaphor there? You know, kind of a foot on, anyway.
Were you looking at a robotic tank?
I don't know. I wasn't there. However, let me, all right, this now gets into his question, all right? I presume you haven't moved, right? You're still over there in the dark somewhere. Because he asked the question, why don't you ask the question again? Scale. What's the size of this stuff? Well, let's go back to the video. All right? Forward. Pause. Okay? This is the rover. It's about this size. This is the tank. It's about the same size. In other words, we sent to Mars vehicles the same size of the stuff we're finding, which is interesting. So, are we looking at RPVs? Anybody know what an RPV is? Remotely piloted vehicle. Are we looking at little war toys, all right? Or are we looking at things in which there were actual biological organisms? Is this really a tank with little shells and little motors and little, in other words, is it a functioning thing on a much smaller scale than life on Earth? That's a question that Ron and some of the other people on our team and I have been wrestling with now for weeks, because one of the a priori problems of taking this seriously is simply that you cannot imagine life on a smaller scale than here, easily. This is not in most biologists' cards. I mean, we can imagine life on a bigger scale. And what do I mean by bigger scale? Back to Steven Spielberg. Remember those guys? Tyrannosaurus Rex and Brontosauruses and Brachiosauruses and all those guys? I mean, that somehow implies that life can range from very big to very small. I mean, I have hummingbirds that come and feed on the feeders outside the windows, and they're that big. On a planet where, you know, there are elephants and blue whales that would stretch across this room. So scale is not a critical determiner of the reality of what we're seeing. In a curious way, when we get into the nitty-gritty of the physics and what has gone on, this, by the way, now is the rock going up and measuring so-called shark in the middle of this complex. This is what they call a wedge, all right? We can turn off the video, all right?
That rock down there with a pipe stick.
Up.
Yeah.
Back up. Back up.
It looks kind of like a drumstick.
Still.
Back up. All right, forward. And
some rock.
Pause. You mean down here? Up here? You mean here? Here? Okay. Oh, there's tons of stuff. I mean, look at this. Oh, those two, I couldn't see. You're right. There are two of them. They're like a manifold. It's an exhaust from a 1957 Chevy. I mean, the more you look at this, the more, even if you're not a geologist, you see things that nature does not form. Let me tell you how we know nature doesn't form. Nature is a symmetrical, broad-scale process, whether it's geology of faulting or wind erosion or water erosion. It moves in one direction over a large area. To get the kind of... I mean, why do we know this instantly is an artificial thing? Because of the geometry, because of what we call orthogonal right-angle geometry. There's too much orthogonal geometry in one little tiny volume to be satisfied by any known geological or natural process. Simply can't happen. On the same scale, we find things like this. All right? That's very sharp. Very, very good of you. I mean, we have not at all exhausted the remarkable potentials of this data. Yes, someone seems to be wanting to ask a question. No, they're not. They're stealing the microphone. No.
How were you able to determine that the top of that bank wasn't actually a rock behind it?
How did I determine that? Well, you got to make a kind of a judgment call. Go back to the computer, all right? If you look at this geometry, if you look at the way this thing is placed here, the symmetry, remember, this is an untouched picture. It was one of those live ones. Everything after the live stuff is suspect. It's like being a DA. Would you trust the gun of the murderer if it had gone to Bangkok and been taken to dinner in Paris and wound up in, you know, Princess Di's funeral? Of course not. You've got to have a trail of evidence. Well, we don't, after these initial live shots, have a trail of evidence. They went into this black hole called JPL, and they've come out in different forms. Look at the geometry of this structure. Now, if I can go to the video, actually what I ought to do is pull up one of the... I don't think I can find this quickly. That's the only problem, because they have really hidden some of this stuff well. All right. Let me see if I've got... Nope. All right. Let me call this up, because someone asked me earlier, and we wanted to talk about this, and I don't want to run out of time.